Wrath Poured Out, Revelation chapter 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Revelation 16 verse 1. At different times and in various places, God has shown his displeasure against the wicked by means of judgments of various kinds. Those were earnests of these final blasts of divine fury. As wickedness has increased, calamities have also increased. For example, indescribable earthquakes are far more frequent and widespread the last 100 years than before. Grievous sores, incurable diseases, horrible plagues, blistering heat, not only here and there but everywhere, will be important parts of the dark program. These will be the aggravated, accumulated, intoxicating fury of God, which is mixed undiluted in the cup of his wrath. Revelation 14:10. Jeremiah was commanded to cause all nations to drink, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword. Jeremiah 25 verses 15 and 16. The visitations, or wrath, recorded in Revelation 16 are the culmination of those in Revelation 8, which will commence sometime before the reign of the Antichrist. They will spread and increase in terribleness as the hour of judgment, about 3.5 years, proceeds. In his vision, it seemed to John that the plagues were emptied out of great bowls. According to Jeremiah 25:16, the chief instrument will be the sword. That is, war always results in devastation, famine, poverty, and deadly diseases and plagues. The time of those visitations of wrath will be the period of the reign of the Antichrist, for they will begin to be inflicted on the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Revelation 16:2. They will succeed one another, the first angel preparing the way for the second angel, etc., each becoming more dreadful than the preceding. Revelation 16 verses 2 through 17. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Revelation 16:2. Upon the earth, or land, which no doubt will be more local, confined especially to Palestine and vicinity, the noisome and grievous sore may be akin to those inflicted on Egypt under Moses' ministry. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Revelation 16 verses 3 and 4. Poured out upon the sea refers to the nations and will be more widespread. As the blood as a dead man, the same is said of the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Moses smote the waters and they turned to blood. Exodus 7:17 through 20. In the vision, the ravages of war will be so terrible that the nations seemed like a sea of blood. Death stalked on every hand. The rivers and fountains which ought to minister blessings speak of religious bodies that propagate error. God's curse will fall upon them also according to what they deserve. And I heard the angel of the waters, the third angel, say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. Revelation 16 verse 5. The angel of the waters is simply the third angel that poured out his bowl. He bursts forth in bold terms, justifying Jehovah in all his acts of vengeance. Revelation 16:6 is positive proof that the rivers and fountains of waters are false teachers, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets and drank blood, for they are worthy. That is, they deserve to be slain by the sword. Calvary confirms the angel's witness of God's righteousness. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Revelation 16:7. Men will arise and condemn the Lord even as they do today, saying, God is not just. Why does he thus punish the people? Therefore, the ejaculations of defending his character and justifying his conduct are interspersed here and there. The refusal of men to repent is further proof of God's justice in judging them. Compare Revelation 16:9 and 11 with Revelation 9:20-21 and 11:10, 18 and 13:3 and 4. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given him to scorch men with fire. Revelation 16:8. The sun will shine with unparalleled strength. Sunstrokes will mow people down like some deadly epidemic. The heat will be so unbearably intense that it will evoke vociferous blasphemies from unrepentant men. Who can point out the great revival that Bible teachers vainly declare will come during that awful time of judgment? They repented not is everywhere as the sequel of God's visitations of wrath. Therefore, there is no restraint thereof, but they grow in severity and climax in the battle of Armageddon. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for distress. Revelation 16:10. In their most aggravated form, the judgment plagues will culminate upon the headquarters of wickedness. Doubtless, the grievous and noisome sore of Revelation 16:2, turning water to blood plague of Revelation 16:3 and 4, and the sun-scorching plague of Revelation 16:8-9 will fall together upon the throne of the beast. No one can adequately conceive the terribleness of those days. International conflict will be increasing rapidly. The devastating effects of war will be beyond description. The smoke of battle will obscure the light of the sun. Electric wires will be severed, leaving whole cities in dense darkness by night. The land was darkened in Egypt by a great swarm of locusts, which typified the armies of men which will gather in Palestine. Joel 1. That was followed by darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness that might be felt. Exodus 10. That was simply an earnest of the widespread night that will envelop the people then. National gloom, confusion, and distress will seize hold of and bewilder people and kings. Battle diplomacy will turn mad. The peace and safety compact will end in a colossal panic. Jesus gave a pen picture of those days in Luke 21:25-26. Read it carefully and consider. Luke 21:27 proves that these will come to pass in those days. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, glorified saints, with power and great glory. Hallelujah! Lord, haste the day. He surely will. That will be also the climax of spiritual night. False prophets under the devil-inspired leadership of the second beast, the false prophet, will employ accumulated error and proclaim it as the true light, but it will prove to be the darkness. That darkness will be an earnest of the outer darkness, Matthew 8:12, 22:13, and 25:30. The eternal state of the unrepentant. What a contrast to the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of dazzling light and sparkling splendor. For God dwelleth in light unapproachable. The Holy Spirit in other scriptures pictures the density of the darkness that will envelop the world then. Think of it. He who was called Lucifer, or Daystar, son of the morning, Isaiah 14:12, will fill the world with darkness and night. He who was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, covered with every precious stone, the embodiment of dazzling brightness, and walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, the throne room of Jehovah, he who was in himself a charming orchestra of tabrets and pipes, Ezekiel 28, became lifted up and said, I will be like the Most High, Isaiah 14:14. Instead, he comes to be the lowest and engulfs humanity in bewildering, self-destructive darkness. His kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Revelation 16:10b-11. They will be deceived religiously, blinded mentally, distressed socially and nationally, and become insane with gloom and wild with confusion. They will blame God for it all, the God who is holy, just, and true, and who has shown mercy to all for 2,000 years. Where will the throne of the beast be? We know that Rome was the seat of the last of the four great world empires. The end-time world empire must be the feet and toes of that great image of Daniel 2:33-45. The prince that shall come, Daniel 9:26, that is, the final world ruler, must be of the Roman Empire. The people of the prince that shall come devastated Jerusalem in 71 A.D., By carefully reading Jeremiah 25:51 with Revelation 16:18, we see clearly that Rome is the religious mistress of the world. Present unfolding facts sustain this view and surely indicate that the revived Roman Empire will again rule the world. This does not seem possible or even probable now, but radical events may change overnight. If the Antichrist chooses another site for his throne, it will certainly be in the West, for the race has been moving westward. The fact that tidings out of the East and out of the North will trouble the United World Powers congregated in Palestine, and the fact that the kings of the East will come forth to the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation 16:12, unite to suggest at least the direction of the universal throne. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Daniel 11:45. This refers to the Antichrist, who will doubtless transfer to Jerusalem his religious headquarters. Compare 2 Thessalonians 2:4. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and the water there was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Revelation 16:12. The literal river Euphrates would be a small barrier against armies today. Rather, this is the meaning. Inasmuch as the Euphrates was set as the boundary of Israel, Genesis 15:18, and Israel's foes came from the east, Isaiah 8:7 and Jeremiah 46:10, the divine restraint will then be removed for the eastern armies to come up to the final world war. For God has said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, Zechariah 14:2. The battleground is Megiddo, Armageddon, and is about 100 miles north from Jerusalem. The word Armageddon means war chariot of Megiddo. The valley of Megiddo is also called the valley of Jezreel, which means it will be sown of God, and the valley of Jehoshaphat, which means Jehovah is judge. The valley of Megiddo is famous in Bible history for battles fought and victories won. Study Deborah's song of triumph over Sisera. The kings came and fought. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera, Judges 5:19-21. The careers of Elijah, Ahab, and Jezebel took place in that vicinity. See 1 Kings 18:23. All the great engagements fought in that valley are shadows of the final conflict of the nations. See Joel 3 and compare Revelation 16:13 with 1 Kings 22:21-22. God permitted a lying spirit in the mouths of false prophets to persuade Ahab to go to battle that he might be slain. Likewise, he will employ miracle-working demons to induce kings and people to go up to that final siege. At the beginning of that awful judgment, God will send upon the impenitent strong delusion that they may believe the lie, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, that the Antichrist is the Christ, also that they might all might be damned or judged who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness, 2 Thessalonians 2:12, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, demons, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14. Those evil spirits will not appear unclean and frog-like in man's sight. The prophets whom they will possess and move will be polite and winning, wise and eloquent, religious and refined. They will confirm their pious utterances by working miracles, but the Holy Spirit pronounces them unclean spirits like frogs and spirits of devils or demons. To God, those prophets are slimy ministers of darkness. Their fair speeches are but croakings, as blatant, impudent, impotents, and cheap orators. Those foul, lying spirits will control all the prophets who before were false to the truth of God, yet claimed to be his ministers. They will move men irresistibly everywhere by their eloquence and miracles to hasten to the scene of battle. Quite likely, they will publish the miracles wrought by the false prophet and the image of the beast, Revelation 13, and endeavor to gather men from all the world to behold that wicked wonder in the temple, the image of the beast, the abomination that maketh desolate. Note the combined triune power of Satan, first, the dragon or the devil himself, second, the national power, the beast, representing the nations, and third, the religious power, the false prophet, representing apostatized Jews and professed Christians. Oh, the unspeakable terribleness, the physical and spiritual darkness of those days. It will seem like Jehovah were dethroned. Israel's deliverance. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Revelation 16, 15. This is a clear commentary on Matthew 24, 43, Luke 12, 39 through 40, and 2 Peter 3, verse 10. These citations refer to the revelation of Jesus from heaven, the church being revealed with him. As thieves come in the night, so Jesus will appear in the night of the tribulation, which he will shorten by overthrowing the Antichrist and false prophet. Question: who is the blessed mentioned here? Answer: it is he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. Revelation 2:16. He that endureth unto the end of the tribulation and is saved from physical death, Matthew 24:14. Inasmuch as God will have completed the body of Christ, the church, 3 years prior, and will then be dealing with Israel only, those will be counted as Israel. All believers on earth at that time will be kingdom believers and not counted in the church in any sense. Daniel speaks of the same blessed one, saying, "Blessed is he that watcheth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days, Daniel 12:12. Compare Isaiah 25:9 and Zechariah 14:16. The great and notable day, Joel 2:31, a brief period during the day of the Lord, covers 75 days, extending from the destruction of the beasts unto the direct revelation of Christ to Israel, when they will exclaim, "Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him," Isaiah 25:9. Zechariah 14:7 declares that it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, similar to twilight. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done," Revelation 16:17. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, counted sin for us, he cried out, "It is finished." What was finished? The judgment due to all men for their sins had fallen upon the Holy Son of God. There remained no more judgment for all those who had believed and who should believe on Jesus. But the masses do not believe. For them there is a judgment to come, because they refused the judgment which fell on God's Son in their behalf. Of this we have intimation in Revelation 10, verse 7. At that time the mystery of God should be finished, and it will be so announced from the throne. The revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven and the overthrow of the beast and false prophet in the battle of Armageddon will be the finish of the mystery. After the millennium will be the final judgment, at which time the wicked dead will be judged. Then again it will be announced, "It is done," Revelation 21:6. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Revelation 16, verses 18 and 19. The voices of Revelation 16, 18 are the judgment utterances of the redeemed who stand in perfect accord with God in his just retributions upon men for rejecting the gospel of his grace. Their anthem of agreement with Jehovah is recorded in Psalm 145, 17, Revelation 15:3 and Revelation 19:2. Thou art holy, O Lord, true and righteous are thy judgments. As there was a confusion in the natural world when Christ was crucified, because God turned his face in holy abhorrence from the face of his anointed, for he was then made sin for us, so here all nature arises in tremendous triumphant agreement with God the Almighty in his visitations of wrath. Hence the thunders and lightnings and earthquakes. There have been great upheavals in diverse places at different times, but that final upheaval will far exceed them all. It will not be local, for here we are told that as a result of so mighty an earthquake and so great, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. It will go rumbling, roaring, and wrenching from city to city. What city will be divided into three parts? Babylon, no doubt, is meant. In Revelation 14:8 and 18:2, Babylon is called the great city, even as in verse 19 here. The cities of the nations also will fall at that time. Special reference is made to Babylon, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The city of which a tenth part will fall, Revelation 16:13, is Jerusalem, the center of the ministry of the two witnesses. Observe that the earthquake of Revelation 16, verses 18 and 19 will be much greater than the one of Revelation 11:13, so the cities are not the same. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Revelation 16, verses 20 and 21. Think of it. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Oh, what dreadful devastations! How terrible are thy judgments, O Lord God, the Almighty! Love's gift to me. Of all the gifts I treasure to brighten memory, the greatest is God's Son from heaven, unspeakable to me. A little while I fretted, dark shadows hid the light, but now my cares are lifted ever, my path is shining bright. Of all his grace and glory, his blessings great I share, a happy song I now am singing as mountain heights I dare. For when my heart was baffled and bitter loss I knew, he brought me o'er the waters winging, my battles battled through. And so for all these mercies to others now I'd show the tender, gentle, melting spirit that he has made me know. To all mankind in trouble I'd show the grace I found, for he has made my watered garden a matchless piece of ground. Far more than life can measure, my Lord has been to me a savior and a friend and lover. His grace has made me free. Forever dawn is smiling upon my path below. I'll brighten every dismal corner as through the year I go. Mary M. Bodie.